Hello, VI Talk. This is Ines Higgins on the 12th of July 2015. Hope you're having a weekend. Just by the by, today is our first wedding anniversary. Quite a significant day, but this is not what I'm trying to talk about. I am quite sure this discussion must have come up before, but I've not seen it. And I guess the topic is job hunting, in particular for full-time work. I don't know what your experience is, and it might vary from region to region, from between countries, and of course, it might even vary between the different job, titles or job types. But when I listen around, when I listen to other visually impaired, or indeed even to take it, put it broader, disabled people, there's a lot of despondency around me saying, "Oh, job hunting is impossible." And as soon as they know that you're blind or disabled, they're going, the shutters are going down, and they don't really want us. And the employers are worried and blah 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 blah. Now, I'm not going to devalue any of these arguments. In fact, I believe they're quite true in many cases. However, some of you might know that I've been recently taking part in something called Steps Into Work, which is done by the National Star College. It's not for the blind only, it's actually for all kinds of disabilities. There are people with learning difficulties, autism, but also wheelchair users, deaf, or people with hearing disabilities, and like really lots of obviously not really severely, but certainly those that could, that could do any kind of job, it is open to. And they're broadening this out to different different companies in different towns and cities, which is great. Simply because I think it can really close the gap. So, for example, big companies like EDF, the one we are with currently, they're amazing because their view on diversity and inclusion is amazing. And the way they've embraced that culture and the way they've included us, and I mean included, not just, well, I guess we better get on with it type inclusion. I'm talking about, do you want to go out for cocktails after work type inclusion? They're seeing us as people rather than, oh, that poor person, what can we do to make them somehow get a chance? They laugh with us, they banter with us, they, you make friends. Some people get jobs in EDF afterwards. Unfortunately, that was not my experience, but that is partly my fault, and I'm regretting that part. Okay, so now that I waffled long enough, I apologise, by the way. The discussion points, really, that I wanted to kind of emphasise are a few. One of them being, how have you guys found job hunting in the past? Has anyone shown you about CV tailoring? So my job coach is very big on, have a look at the job ad and do not send a generalized CV for every job you are seeing. Tailor your CV to the ad. That doesn't mean you suddenly have to come up with skills that you don't actually have, but you prioritize skills that you do have into the order that the ad wants you to. So, for example, if the ad says good telephone manner and good data entry skills. You put those skills, if your CV says you have these skills, on top. And this is because employers just literally take a really quick look and they want something that catches their eye. And if they have to look down a list of skills that might not necessarily match the job description, they're going to go, okay, next. And I think it is partly us doing the general CV thing. I've done the same mistake 8-9 years ago in Germany. But guys, I think it's also partly those people who have or have not told us about it. So if someone had told me on like 9 years ago, this is how you do it, I think I probably would have had a lot more luck. My job coach is really keen on, you must do the tailoring. So has anyone ever told you that before? Then how specific are you with your job hunt? This is really difficult for me because you want it to meet your needs, so you don't want to be, so you have some non-negotiables, that I would call them. So for example, I wouldn't necessarily say, I'm going to go, I don't know, to Stonehouse or Tewkesbury, where it's a bit harder to get to. I prefer something in the centre of Cheltenham, so that in winter, I don't necessarily have to travel an hour to get home. Now, then is the question of part-time or full-time. And this is another thing that I had an issue with. Most people believed that I could do full-time, but I had one person who has a lot of influence over, you know, the jobs I'm applying to. I don't want to name names or blame anybody, because I think that they had a genuine reason. They were genuinely caring about me, and they were genuinely concerned that I wouldn't be able to hack full-time. So I do not at all accuse anybody. But somebody very close who has an influence on what jobs I'm applying to said, "Ooh, I don't know about full-time for you, that rings alarm bells because of this and this and this reason." And at the time I thought, yeah, I guess that person knows, because that person has a lot of experience. And I let that person kind of change my mind. And again, the reasons were genuine. But then if you imagine typing admin in Gloucestershire and you get 100 jobs, if you then narrow your search down to part-time, you are down to 2 jobs, and both of them might not even be really the thing you're looking for. And then you think, oh, crumbs, there's nothing that I really want to do. And the guy from the agency that initially wanted to employ me at EDF said, the thing is that if, you know, people already have a part-time vacancy, they are a lot less likely to give that up or to quit that job. So that not as many part-time vacancies are coming up. Why? Well, it's because they know that they are freaking lucky to have a job like this around their commitments. So it's a lot harder to get a part-time job. So recently then, I found a lot of jobs that sounded amazing. Oh yes, that sounds good. That skill I have. Oh, full time. Next. Or do I go next? Which then brought me back to, do I really want to do part time? Wouldn't it be better for me to try full time, see how it goes, if I do realise after 3, 4, 5 months, holy moly, I come home every day and I'm knackered and I don't want to know anything else and I can't do full-time, then I can negotiate again. But I think to go in and say I just want part-time, if companies try to employ full-time, it's going to make it a lot harder for you to get a job. So I decided to go and look full-time. So I reasoned, who knows myself better than myself? Nobody. Just myself. So people might have genuine reasons, and actually reasons that would make sense, why I should go full-time, but only I know myself. And I spoke to 3 people on Thursday, and they all said, I think you could do it. I then rang Gaff because I thought, well, you know what, no matter what anybody says, I want my marriage to be first priority. So I rang Gaff and I said, this is what people are saying, this is what I feel about it. How are you feeling about me going full-time? Because I think if you're married, you want to be able to be happy. Not that you can decide your spouse's life, but I think it's key that, you know, both parties are happy with the decisions that are being made. And only when I knew Gav was behind me in this, that's when I changed my mind and said, yes, actually, I'm going to try and go full-time. So are you limiting yourself too much? But at the same time, do you have stuff that you definitely wouldn't want to do? So, for example, again, travel times. Yes, you could go with access to work and get money, like get funding for transport. Yes, you could. But if you could go there independently and feel like an independent person, then why not? But at the same time, just apply for an accountant administrator job just so you apply for something when you're not really into accounting is not wise either. So be selective, but don't be too limiting for yourself, is what I'm thinking. But what do you guys think? The last thing I want to kind of flag up, well, not flag up, but point out is job experience. How important is it to employers to have job experience and references from past jobs or past employers? And how much support do you guys get? So, like, thank goodness now I've been with EDF for 6.5 months by the time I finished this. It would have been even longer had my Disclosure Scotland and DBS and all the vetting stuff been quicker. But fact is, I now have a bit of job experience. I also have a buddy or a person at my current, you know, internship that gave me a reference, and I've got a job coach that gives me a reference and that also helps me with applying for jobs. So how much support do you have? How much experience do you have? And the other thing is, I really say look for the support. So if you haven't worked for a while, I believe they want to roll out these Steps into Work programs in more places in England. So have a look. Where is your next one? I think I've posted something recently, both here and at the VI Talk Facebook group, about where they're going to roll it out. Now, I'm aware that it's not everywhere. I'm afraid there's nothing in the north yet. But do you know if there's something similar? Do you know if there's other job coaches who might be able to give you support? Or have you got any voluntary experience? So really think about your experience and think about the support you can have. Maximize it, make use of it, is what I'm kind of thinking, is what I've been experiencing. Because sadly, people, like companies, always want people with experience, but how do you get the experience if nobody hires you? One quick last thing. If anybody has experience with access to work, please also let me, like, message me or tell me about it here so that I know what to expect. Because I have a lot of good things about them, but I also hear a lot of, you need to know how to fill the forms out properly. So, yeah, any tips with that would be greatly appreciated. So there you go. That's it from me. Would love to hear from you all. And I hope you have a great weekend. Oh, well, great evening. Talk to you soon.